Okay, so the title says salt. Jesus often provided a word of encouragement to his disciples, twice using the example of salt. The first example, he just gave the Beatitudes. So, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So he's giving instruction on how to be a good Christian. And then he says this: you are the salt of the earth, which is great. So salt is a positive thing. And so he's saying to these Christians that he's talking to, you are the salt of the earth. But then he goes on and he says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. And again, light is positive. That's good. He says, a city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. So you don't hide a light underneath something that's going to block the light, but you put it up on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus likened his disciples to salt, and it's quite common for Jesus to use examples of everyday things because people understand everyday things. And so when he's giving parables, he'll say, you know, the kingdom of God is like this. Or in this case, he's saying, we are like salt. And in this example, he says, but if salt loses its flavor, so he's talking about the flavor characteristics of salt. So we know, for example, that salt seasons food. It preserves food from spoiling. It creates thirst. And it brings out the flavor in stuff, like especially meat. So as followers add piquancy, a sharp appetizing flavor, to human society. They serve as a preservative, make others long for the righteousness described in the preceding verses. And again, it's kind of interesting. I never realized this, but on the tongue, there's actually certain places for, I always just thought tongues had taste buds and every place was the same as any other place. But as you can see from the picture, there are certain areas where you can detect sour, other areas where you detect sweet, other areas where you detect salt. And the first time that I ever realized this was when I had something really sour in my mouth, and I was working it with my tongue to poke it to another place in my mouth so that the sour wouldn't be so powerful. And that's because there are certain sensors that are really sensitive to sour and other places where it's a little safer. So Jesus gives us a warning. He says, if salt loses its flavor, it can't be restored and it's good for nothing. It's discarded on a footpath. The disciple has one great function: to be the salt of the earth by living out the terms of discipleship listed in the Beatitudes and throughout the rest of the sermon. If a disciple fails to exhibit this spiritual reality, men will tread their testimony under their feet. The world has only contempt for an undedicated believer. And again, we've seen many supposed Christians or Christian leaders that have been disgraced by not living up to the way of life that they try to preach about. The second example that Jesus gives about salt is found in Mark. And again, just before he gives this example about salt, he's talking about these various temptations to sin. If your eye is causing you to sin, then pluck it out. If your foot is causing you to sin, cut it off. And again, we in the church understand that Jesus wasn't being literal there. He was giving an example to say, you know, if something is causing you to sin, then get that thing out of your life. We know that if you poke out your eye or if you cut off your hand, that's not going to necessarily stop you from sinning, because the sinning is coming from your inner desires. It's not coming from your hand or your eye necessarily. And so Christ here is using figurative language, not something that was meant to be done literally. So when he gives those examples about things that would cause to sin, he then goes on and says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So to look at some of the things that Christ said there, he says, "Let for everyone will be seasoned with fire." And again, there's some challenges that people have. Does he mean everyone is in the whole world, including the church, or is he just talking about people that are outside the church? And so, again, some of the problems include, you know, which fire is he referring to there? Is he talking about trials, or is he talking about hellfire, the, you know, at the end? And what is meant by seasoned? And does everyone refer to the saved or the unsaved or to both? So fire may mean hell or judgment of any kind, for example, trials, including divine judgment of believers' works and self-judgment. Salt typifies that which preserves, purifies, and seasons. In Eastern land, it's also a pledge of loyalty or friendship and faithfulness to a promise. So interestingly, salt, in addition to tasting good, was something that if you were giving a pledge to someone, if you were making a contract, you'd sometimes use salt in that contract. And so there's extra connotations that we might not pick up on right away that perhaps are intended by Christ when he references salt. If everyone refers to the believers, the passage teaches that they must be purified through the fires of God's chastening in this life, preserve themselves from corruption by practicing self-discipline, and be tested at the judgment seat of Christ. And he goes on and says, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Interestingly, he's quoting from Leviticus 2, which is talking about sacrifices, and that salt was part of what was used in sacrifices in the Old Testament. So again, there's another use of salt that we might not necessarily have picked up on. And again, if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? Salt without saltiness is valueless. A Christian who is not carrying out his duties as a true disciple is barren and ineffective. It's not good enough to make a good start in a Christian life unless there's consistent, radical self-judgment. The child of God is failing to achieve the purpose for which God saved him. Have salt in yourselves. Be a power for God in the world. Exert a beneficial influence for the glory of Christ. Be intolerant of anything in your life that might lessen your effectiveness in him. Have peace with one another. This apparently refers back to verses 33 and 34, where the disciples had just argued over which one of them was the greatest. Pride must be put away and replaced by humble service to all. So to summarize, verses 49 and 50 seem to picture the believer's life as a sacrifice to God. It is salted with fire, that is, mixed with self-judgment and self-renunciation. It is salted with salt. It's offered with a pledge of unalterable devotedness. If the believer goes back on his vows or fails to deal drastically with sinful desires, then his life will be savorless, worthless, and pointless. Therefore, he should eradicate anything from his life that would interfere with his divinely appointed mission and would maintain peaceful relations with other believers. So, that's what I wanted to cover today on the subject of salt. Interestingly, on the back is all the other places in Scripture where salt is referenced. And if you look at the ones that are highlighted, you'll find there's something that's called a covenant of salt. And you'll find examples where salt is used in a positive way and examples where salt is perhaps negative. If you're looking for drinking water, you don't want it to be salt water. And so there's a reference to salt and how God cleansed the salt out of the water for Israel. So with that, I'll ask you to heed Christ's example and his warning here that says that you are the salt of the earth and to have salt in yourselves.